This is Trevor Harris from Classical 90.5. I recently sat down with Stephen Tharp. He's a professor of voice in the MU School of Music. We talked about the distinctions in the repertoire for voice within the classical music genre. Here's excerpts from my interview with Tharp and excerpts from the pieces that he references. You can hear Tharp each morning this week on Morning Classics on Classical 90.5.
My name is Stephen Tharp, and I'm assistant professor of music, of voice, at the University of Missouri. And I teach individual voice lessons to music majors, vocal majors, some of whom want to become opera singers, some of whom want to become music educators and want to sing as well as they possibly can. And I also teach a class in vocal literature, which is the study of the repertoire that is available to singers, particularly the song repertoire. I was born and raised in Springfield, Missouri, and I studied piano, was a very bad piano student in my early teens. But I developed a love for classical music, and I developed a love of the theory of music and the history of music. And oddly enough, it was my French teacher, my freshman year in high school, who noticed this love and encouraged it and used to bring me stacks of his LP records, his opera sets, and lend them to me to listen to operas and to get to know operas. So I had a constant source of recordings of the great operas and the great opera singers. One day I remember he walked in the door and said, "You're into your Callas period now," and he handed me an entire stack of the recordings of the soprano Maria Callas. And I'd heard the name mentioned, but I knew nothing about her. And this opened up a whole world of realizing what a singer could do in terms of performing a variety of music and being a real master of a variety of styles.
Is there one work or a couple works that Maria Callas is especially known for that people, they hear that and they think, oh, she really mastered that piece?
Yes, there are two or three operas that where her mastery is considered to be kind of definitive, meaning defining of the entire role. Norma of Bellini is one such. La Traviata of Verdi, she's considered one of the greatest, if not the greatest, violettas to sing that role. And Lucia di Lammermoor of Donizetti is considered another of Callas's greatest roles. She also made a great recording of Tosca by Puccini.
For us, the parts of the vocal repertoire.
Yes, you actually alluded to the three of them. There are operatic works, which are written for the stage. They're dramatic works. People often make fun of the plots, but they are dramatic works. Then there are works where solo voices are used in combination with a chorus, and that's usually called an oratorio or a concert work. And then there are songs, which generally speaking are written for a single voice and a piano. But there can be other combinations as well. There are duets and trios where two or three voices appear with a piano. There are songs that are written with obbligato instruments where the piano is joined with another instrument like the horn or the clarinet or a solo violin to augment the texture of the music. So these three branches of vocal literature are not exactly in competition. They complement one another, but different singers specialize in these three different branches. And I've always taken a great pride in my own career in having equal interest in all three of those branches.
who are the handful of composers, who's maybe two or three composers who come to mind immediately as, oh, they really advanced the operatic literature by a great stride?
Oh, it's difficult. There have been many in the history of music, but I think the three who stand out to me are Mozart, Wagner, and Verdi. Mozart, because of the way he humanized his characters, the way his characters, as he composes their music, become recognizable human beings with real problems and real concerns. And they touch us in a way that is very immediate, even though these works were written over 200 years ago. Verdi and Wagner were both in the mid to late 19th century, and their works are sort of the culmination of, in Verdi's case, the Italian style of opera, in Wagner's the Germanic style of opera. And they brought these two styles to a culmination in each of their cases that really, in a way, couldn't be surpassed. Even present-day composers who compose operas in some ways are composing them in the shadow of Verdi and Wagner.
So for the uninformed, for the ill-informed among us, what are the differences, or what is the primary difference between Germanic opera and Italian opera?
Ah, well, the language, obviously, is the first and most obvious difference. But beyond that, an emphasis in the Italian opera on melody, always on the beautiful tune. And Verdi was always looking for a tune that would be both expressive of his characters and in and of itself beautiful. He was very concerned with not allowing his operas to be heard before they were ready for the premiere, because he didn't want the street singers of the day to be out stealing his tunes and singing them to the public. That's how popular they would become. And German opera, on the other hand, are based more in the German symphonic tradition, the tradition of Beethoven and Haydn. And the music, while it's vocal, always has an emphasis on the instrumental texture as well. So it's the interweaving of the instrumental and the vocal texture. I was a very unusual kid, because growing up, I first became interested in the music of Wagner. Usually Wagner is something you come to later in your appreciation of classical music, but I was precocious and I was determined I was going to get to know Wagner. So at the age of 14, I started studying Wagner's Ring operas. And I'm not sure I completely understood them at the time, but I enjoyed them.
We talked about opera as one of the three main components of the vocal literature. I'd like to talk about oratorios or concert works as distinct from opera.
The oratorio comes out of liturgical music, meaning church music. Some of the earliest oratorio-like works that are performed are, for instance, the Bach cantatas and passions, or an even earlier work that's very popular, the Vespers of 1610 by Monteverdi, a beautiful piece that calls upon solo voices, choral voices, and instruments. And usually that pattern holds true for concert works. There are concert works for solo voices only with orchestra. One thinks of Mahler's Das Lied von der Erde, where there, in other words, is no chorus. But usually all three components are there: chorus, orchestra, and soloists. They often have a sacred nature because they come out of this church tradition, so that the Haydn oratorios are based... one of them, the creation, is based on the Bible. The other of the popular Haydn oratorios is called The Seasons and is a secular or non-sacred oratorio. It takes as its subject the four seasons and the life of the peasantry in celebrating these and living amidst nature and celebrating the four seasons. another of the most famous and one that I've sung often and loved is the Requiem by Verdi. Many composers have written masses and Requiem masses, and there are beautiful Requiems by Verdi, Fauré, and a work called the German Requiem, which I think they're going to do here at MU with the Choral Union this coming year, which is not based on the Latin Requiem text, but rather on the Lutheran Bible. It's by Brahms.
Are there contemporary composers that are working in that subgenre of oratorios, whether they're religious or secular?
Yes. In fact, we premiered a piece by Stefan Freund from MU just a couple of years ago, which was an oratorio based on the history of the Civil War in Missouri. And I had the pleasure of being the tenor soloist for that performance. So this was an example of using that concert form to tell a story, not staged as it would be in an opera, but simply telling the story through the chorus and the soloists.
So before 7 o'clock, we were ashore, and a column of men began its advance.
That was the tenor, Stephen Tharp. He is a professor of voice in the MU School of Music, and he was the Artist of the Week for the week of August 8th through the 12th. Listen to Morning Classics each weekday morning between 7 and 9 a.m. for the next Artist or CD of the Week. As always, thanks for your support, and thanks for listening to Classical 90.5.